In continuation of our series, Words in Red, we're looking at some today very close to my heart. I wonder if they also have served that purpose in your life as well. Some powerful words, precious words of Jesus. John 16, we're going to be beginning in verse 20, the second part of verse 20, reading down to verse 22 and then down to verse 33. John chapter 16. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, amen. We are ready to proceed. Please attend with me to the powerful word of our God. John 16, beginning in verse 20. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Skip down with me to verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus says. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Attend with me one more time to just this last verse, which will be our focus verse, these words of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Please pray with me. Almighty and everlasting God, we audaciously come to you in this moment asking that you might speak. We come knowing that you have spoken so many times before. In so many ways in our lives, you do find a way to interrupt what we think, what we hear all around us and inside of us, and to speak your word into our very lives. We thank you for being that kind of communicative God. Hallelujah. Because God, truly the case is that if it weren't for your word, for your speaking, for your guidance, for your presence, we don't know where we would be. So now, God, yet and again, we ask that you speak in this moment, that you speak to the very needs of our hearts. I ask, God, that in spite of the frailties of the preacher, that your word might come forth with power, that it might do what it needs to do in the hearts of your children, whom you love so much. We love you back, God. We honor you. We need you. And we're listening to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, together we say amen. 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 In this world, he says, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. People of God, Jesus knows how very hard life can be. He knows that it is not all daisies and sunshine. He knows that not every day is filled with blue skies and with puffy clouds. He knows how hard those things that you don't tell to other people, or that perhaps you only bring up every now and then, and that you didn't expect and you can't believe were part of your journey, he knows about it. I am very glad I find myself finding great comfort in the fact that my Lord knows. You know, he knows this from experience. He knows that there is trouble in life. I love the old hymns. I asked Jay to play that beautiful hymn for us this morning, Hallelujah, What a Savior. I love the old hymns because they remind us so often of this character of our Lord, that he knows what it is to experience trouble and to experience grief. It calls him Man of Sorrows. What a name. There's another wonderful hymn. The Great Physician says, the Great Physician now is near, our sympathizing Jesus. He knows what it is to taste trouble. Our scripture tells us this in Isaiah 53, that he was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows, familiar, it says, with suffering. That's your Savior. He's not far off and unfamiliar with that, what you might go through. He knew, and he had walked through the great trials of life. Jesus knew loss. He lost his cousin. He knew rejection. He knew physical days that where his body was in pain. He knew terrifying days and tear-soaked nights. He knew. You know, when you go through something, I wonder if you've had this experience. There's nothing like the comfort of someone who has also been through it. If you're heading into surgery and it's your first time, you don't want to talk to somebody who's only ever had a broken toe. You want to talk to somebody who's been under anesthesia and knows what the knife is and had to recover, because there's comfort in talking to someone who's been there. The great changes that we go through in life, it's always wonderful to talk to any of those people who care about us, but there's something special, how many know this, about when that one shows up who says, "My friends, I've been there too." Jesus knows what trouble tastes like in life. Hebrews puts it like this: "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tested every way, just as we have." What does this mean? This means that Jesus speaks from a place of authority. That this is the Lord whom we follow. That he speaks from a place of knowing that of which he talks. There's a preacher I used to like, and she would say, "I'm not telling you what I read in a book. I'm telling you what I know." This is why we can believe him when he speaks about God loves you, because he knows what it feels like to not be sure. When he speaks about every hair on your head has been counted, because these are not fluffy, empty words to him. He has been there. Our faith is not a candy-coated gospel. Gardner Taylor would say, some people, they present the faith as though it's candy-coated gospel. And he says, too much candy will give you diabetes. Our faith is not a candy-coated gospel, though some might present it in that way, preaching only prosperity and not the challenge and the difficulty and the high calling of Christ, preaching only the positive thinking and the living the good life and all that we can walk into. But our faith is not fluffy and frilly. It is not superficial. It is gritty. At the center of our faith is someone who has tasted the most bitter flavors of life, who has walked through days unimaginably hard. Our faith is not candy-coated. Our faith is not a candy-coated gospel. And Jesus, in this moment that we read today, he's not sugarcoating it for the disciples. These are some of the harder words of Jesus, the grittier, the more challenging. These are some of the words that don't only talk of what is good. He's not sugarcoating it for the disciples. When he speaks these words in the Gospel of John, perhaps you've heard them before, he is in some of his last moments. This is a couple of nights before he will see his most difficult hour and his most challenging day. This is a couple of nights before he will have to say goodbye to them. And so he's trying to tell them, here it is, the important things. He's trying to tell them truly the character of life and how they are to walk through it and what it is that God is up to in their lives in these moments, even, yes, the difficult one. He's trying to tell them about the important things. He's trying to tell us today as well. What is he telling them on this day where they're eating together and he's about to walk into the most challenging moments of his own life? He's telling them that they will know loss. He says to them in John 16, "I'm going to him who sent me. And because I have told you these things, you are filled with grief because now I'm telling you that I'm not going to be here forever. That this which you stepped into, this journey with me where I became your friend and we've had so much joy, it won't be like this forever. There will be a day when change will come and it will not be easy, that you will know the pain and the sting of loss." He's not sugarcoating it. He tells them about the persecution that they will experience, and it will be tremendous, as you know from your studies. He tells them in this chapter, at the beginning of the chapter, they're going to put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who does you harm will think he's offering a service to God by doing so. They're going to do such things because they don't know me. And because you know me, they're not going to like you. And things are going to get, here it is, hard. He's not sugarcoating it for them. He's saying, in this world, it's not always going to be daisies and puffy clouds in the sky. In this world, you will have trouble. He's not sugarcoating it for them, and I'm glad about it because he doesn't sugarcoat it for us either. I'm glad about it because he's someone who knows, and he doesn't just present the easy side of life. He's telling us as well this trouble that the disciples will have. You know, he's saying this to us as well. And in many ways, we can relate to the trouble that they are about to experience. He was telling them that they would be persecuted, that they would be treated unfairly, that people would speak ill of them when it was not merited, that they would tell things about them that were not true, that, hey, here it is, how they would be treated, the experiences they had would not correspond to how they had acted in their lives. Has anybody ever been there? What they say about you is not always the way that it really is. How they treat you is not really the way that you have been treating them, that he's telling them it's not always going to go the way you deserve. Has anybody ever run into that type of trouble? That what happened, you can't believe it because you tried your best, but what comes to pass in your life is not always what you have sown in. Jesus is saying in this world, trouble. He's saying that the pain of loss will be yours. He's saying that grief that comes from loss is not just reserved for those people who have done something wrong, who are having some sort of aberration in their life. No, grief is going to touch you as well to the disciples. He's saying loss will come your way. And you may expect that because you know that I'm going on to be with the Father and that you'll see me again, that the loss won't hurt that bad. But he's letting them know, ooh, it hurts. And how many know in our own stories that even though we can know, we know that they're on the other side and that we'll see them again, but that even in our own stories, we know that he is speaking the truth in our lives when he says that grief may come your way and grief may show up one day at your doorstep. And even if you know all the truth about where the loved one is, it's still the truth of the matter is, can still break your heart right into two pieces. He's telling the disciples, even when you walk well, even when you do it right, loss may come your way. Grief may break your heart. You may find days that it hurts to get up in the morning. Trouble. I'm so glad that he knows, people of God. Am I the only one? I'm so glad that he doesn't sugarcoat it for them and he doesn't sugarcoat it for us. Because if there were never any of these harder words, these words in red that didn't talk about, you know, moving mountains and just having a faith the size of a mustard seed, that weren't about, you know, not worrying. If none of the words in red had anything to do with the heart or the underbelly of life, I don't know if I would believe that he was telling me the whole truth. I might think this was a fairy tale gospel. I'm so glad that my Savior tells me the truth, that he doesn't sugarcoat it, and that he knows. He's honest. You serve a Lord who knows your every move and knows what you've been through and knows how it felt, even when you couldn't put it into words for somebody else, the burdens that you carry. He has lifted burdens just like that. And when you wake up in the morning and you tell him about it, he says, I know. He says, in this life, it's not always going to be easy. Grief is real. Trouble is real. These words in red, they comfort me. They let me know I'm in the right place when I'm with him. Whew. These words in red that talk about the trouble. However, and I'm not saying this isn't maybe for everybody. This is for those who know what he means. This is maybe not every, but for those of us who maybe if you know what he means, when he says the word trouble, images come to your mind. When he says the word grief, you say, it's not just Peter and it's not just Matthew. It's not just Mary, the disciples. It's not just them. I know what he means. However, he knows about the trouble and he speaks about the trouble. He includes that in the words of red. But I need to tell you something. That's not all that he says. That's not all that he says today in this vivid honesty and this sincere report about what life can contain and what sometimes takes place in our journeys, that he's painting the picture of how the world can contain these things for us and about how we might find ourselves in moments of pain. That is not all Daddy says, that is not, have you read it here in the scripture? That's not the end of the red font. The period does not come. The font does not turn to a different color. He keeps speaking to the disciples. He keeps talking to them, and he's not done saying what he has to say. And I just want to let you know today that he's not done talking to you. He says to them, in this world, you will have trouble. And he says to them in a way that communicates to them, I know how you feel, and trouble will come, and it will not always be easy to do what it is that you have to do. In this world, you will have trouble, but he's not done talking. He says the word, but, and this word, this small word, it's only four letters in the Greek, three letters in English. This small word is a conjunction. It's a conjunction, and it indicates that the idea is not yet finished, that there has not yet been finality in the sentence that is being expressed. This word that our Savior speaks, and that he, and I'm saying this to those who know what trouble is, who know what grief is, this word that he speaks into the sentence when he's telling you, I know how your life is, this word is indicating that the sentence is not over. What he says to us when he puts this word into these words in red that he carefully chooses so that we might hear them millennia later, what he's saying to us is that he's not done speaking. He puts a comma where we may have presumed that there was a period. He puts a turn in the corner where we may have presumed that things were going to continue in the direction they had already been going. He puts, here it is, a contrast when we may have assumed that everything would be the same. He's speaking to them as he's speaking to us. He tells us he knows how it is, but then he says, but I'm not done talking. There's more that I will say to you. Yes, trouble is real. Yes, even grief and deep pain may take place on your journey, but that is not the end of the sentence. How many have encountered that but, that conjunction in your life? How many have walked down roads marked with trouble and you thought that was going to be the end of what, and that would have the last word, but Jesus came in and spoke another word? How many know what it is to say he spoke into my life, and where the enemy may have put a period, he said, no, but there's more to come. But I am not done. But this one belongs to me, so there's something after this. But so many have lived without this conjunction in their lives. So many, here it is, have known the man, but not known the difference, hallelujah, that he can put into your life, the difference that can take place because he continues to speak and because we continue to listen. So many have known the Savior, but not taken him up on this offer of saying, you're still speaking, Lord, okay, I'll keep listening. And if you say there's trouble, but there's something after, if you say it, if those words are read and they come from you, Lord, I will listen. Listen, don't live your life without the but that he says. Don't live your life without that conjunction, that difference that he offers. Don't live your life knowing just the trouble and not knowing what else he has to say. Hallelujah. He's not done speaking in our lives. He's not done talking. He knows. He does. But he doesn't just want to talk to us about that. He has more to say. He has more. Try him and see if he's not good for his word. If there's not more after the pain. These are his words, not mine. In this world, you will have trouble. But. And what is it that he says to us? What is it that he says to us? He tells us, in this world, you will have trouble. I know what it'll feel like. I know where you will go. And though you can't explain it to anyone else, I will understand and I will walk with you. But that will not be the end. What is he saying in our lives, and what is he saying to us today? The first thing that he's saying to us as he talks to us about the trouble and what comes after, he says this: it didn't win. It didn't win. Now, again, I'm talking, maybe not everybody. Maybe you love the daisies and the clouds or what you have known. God bless you. But if you know what he means when he says the word trouble, if you don't need him to explain any further, if you something came to your mind, I want to tell you today, it didn't win. Huh? It didn't win. Now, I was so curious. When Jesus tells the disciples, he says, yes, it will be rough. You will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome this world. And I was so curious because I'll be honest with you, the trouble, I know what he means, right? I was curious. I said, Jesus, I'm hungry for your word. What is it that you mean about this? So I did some studying and I needed to understand what this word was, that he has overcome, that I can take heart because he has overcome. And I discovered that in Greek, the word that he uses for overcome is nikeo. Say it with me, nikeo. Nikeo. Now, this comes from the word Nike, which, of course, is on some of your shoes today. Nike, what does this mean? Nike means victorious. Nike means victory, so nikeo means to be victorious over. And I began to get curious about this and to say, Jesus, what does it mean that you have been victorious over the trouble that might beset me, that you have been victorious over that which might cause pain in this world, as you said it would? And I began to think and to study what the scholars have said. And the scholars have indicated that Nike and Nikeo indicates that there was a battle, indicates that something tried to take the victory and to be to overcome something else and to knock it to its knees and to truly end it. But here it is, but it was not able to, because the thing is, you're not victorious over something that didn't make you fight. You're not victorious over something that didn't cause you to have to fight and to battle. You're victorious over something only if it tried to take you down, but that it was not able to. The scholars believe that this word nikeo, it is to deprive something of its power to harm. That it is not that nothing bad happens, but that something will try to take you down. But what the power of the living God does in our life is it may come in and deprive that thing of its power to harm us. And that is what it means, that he has been victorious over the trouble that may rise up in our life. Not that the weapon is not formed, but that it will not prosper. And I just came to tell a few people today, I want you to look back over in your life. And I bet if you look back over, you will see there's some things that tried to take me down. There's some trouble that rose up against me, but it didn't win. It didn't win. Does anybody know about that victory that comes when you can say, ooh, I didn't know it was going to get that hard, but I wrestled. It wrestled me. It fought me tooth and nail, but it discovered that it wasn't fighting just me. Hallelujah. That it didn't win. That it didn't win. Jesus is saying, you will have trouble, but it will not win. And we ought to celebrate that today. This is what he's speaking into our lives. What else is he speaking into our lives? He's saying, I know there will be trouble, but it doesn't have to win. And then he says something else to us that's so powerful. He says, something else can be birthed. I love it. I love it. If you look up with me at the beginning of the passage that he read, he's talking about grief. He's letting you know he knows how it feels, that you don't have to keep it all to yourself because he's been there before. Tell it to him. Tell it to him because he knows how it will feel. But he says something else, hallelujah, can be birthed. I love that he uses this metaphor of a woman giving birth to a child. Because he says, think about this, that true pain, probably the most painful moment that most of humanity will have to experience, is this moment that happens in the birth of a child. But something else can come after it. Something else can be birthed. He's so careful with the metaphors that he chooses, and he chooses this metaphor that there's something else that can be birthed, that can come through your life, that it is not the end of the story. He's saying that, yes, trouble, but that is not the only thing that can happen. Something else can form that you had no idea could be there, that you had never seen before, that there is more that can take place in your life. Look at it like this with me, just for a second. And again, this is just for those who know what trouble is. Something else can be. When a woman is going to give birth to a child, she cannot imagine what the child will sound like. What the child will look like. She can't imagine exactly how its laugh is going to sound. She can't imagine because she hasn't seen it yet. And what Jesus is saying, that particular kind of love, the profound happiness that can come from that, she cannot imagine that until it is birthed in her life. And what he is trying to tell us today is that those who know pain and know grief, he's trying to communicate to us something else that you cannot even conceive us can be birthed in your life. This is what he said to the disciples. They didn't know. They thought this would be the end of their story. But Matthew goes on to lead a church. We studied him last week. Peter goes on to heal bodies with the powerful name of. He could not have imagined that he would be a leader in a church such that we are still talking about them. They could not have imagined what else could be birthed. But Jesus could. And all I want to say to you today is let him tell you that something else could be birthed in your life. The thing about these things that he tells us requires participation. Right? It requires to follow him where he goes. It's not a guarantee. I say this all the time. We are not compelled. We are invited. Faith is not a guarantee. It is an invitation. And he says to the disciples on this day, he says, taste and see if the Lord is good. Try me and see if I'm not correct that after this pain, after this trouble, yes, it will be real. But there will be more. There can be more if you walk with me. He said this to so many people in our scripture. And I imagine that perhaps in some parts of your journey, he said it to you. God said it to Ruth and to Naomi. They thought that was the end. But in chapter one, there was the pain, but they flipped the page to chapter two and a whole nother life was birthed. But they had to flip the page. He said it. He said it to all those in the Gospels who were waiting for healing, who thought that their life was going to stay the way that it was in the state that had harmed them the most. But he said, no, come with me. I am not done with your story. And if you walk with me, you will see that there is more after this. Yes, I see you've had trouble, but that's not the end of the story that we are writing together. What does he say can be birthed? Now, and the reason I believe him is because he was so honest about the pain. What does he say that can be birthed? What is he talking about? He says, you will have grief, but you will also, if you walk with me, find joy. It can be birthed. He's good for his word. He knows where you've been. And he's saying, but I am not done. These are the words of our Savior today. These are the words of the man who on Thursday, this day, said, I'm telling you about how hard life can get so that you know when it comes that this isn't an aberration. It's not that you did something wrong, so that you know that I'm with you in this. I'm telling you that, but I'm telling you something else as well. These are the words of the man who on Thursday said, I'm telling you about the most bitter flavors of life that I know, and I know where you've been. I'm telling you that those things are real, but I'm telling you about something else as well. These are the words of the man on Thursday who said, it's going to be hard. Grief and pain may come knocking at your door. Friday is going to be frightening and Saturday is going to be silent. But these are the words who on Sunday morning said, early on that morning, I discovered that this was not the end of the story. Yes, pain had come. Yes, they closed the door of the tomb. Yes, it was painful that weekend, but early on Sunday morning, we discovered that God was not done. These are the words of your Savior who knows all that you might go through in your life. And I'm telling you today, he's saying, but I'm not done. Amen. Amen. Can we give God some praise? Can we give God some praise for these words of our precious Savior? Amen.